Blog Talk Radio.
יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're live because we're intending to stay alive, configured to Torah Chaim, instructions of life, Torah Chesed, instructions of kindness, Torah Tzarachim, instructions of mercies. You're now tuned into Blog Talk Radio, and we humbly sit with a higher inner frequency. This is Soul Class 772, Prayer and Healing. Blessed is our eternal creator. Baruch Hashem, shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the entire human family condition. Our next broadcast is taking place right now with Creator's help on May 22nd, 2022. It's now 12:02, live from Turtle Island, equals AKA equals USA, equals Unified Soul Actualization. Content will connect to prayer as it is bound up with the healing experience. Meanwhile, may the Eternal Creator bless and protect you and your loved ones peacefully and pleasantly. Our call number, if you want to make the show slightly more organic, is 563-999-3688. That's 563-999-3688. The tags for today are Eternal Creator, Universal Redemption, Divine Image, Children of Israel collaborating with the children of Noah to remove hatred, jealousy, and competition not needed on the face of this blessed earth, Torah of Israel, written oral traditions, prayer and healing. And joining me today is Rambam activist, teacher, student, disseminator of the teachings of the Nesher Gadol, the Great Eagle, Dennis Ryan. Good morning, sir.
Shalom aleichem.
Aleichem. And Dennis, I'd just like to bring out these points when we do programs where we're holding with our listener audience, and still we have a predominant audience in America, about almost 60%. And after that, believe it or not, the people of Russia. We have an 11% of our most recent listening to our program from there, followed by Jamaica almost at 5%. And I'm just trying to see if I can pull out here. Well, it looks like maybe later on in the show I'll get those numbers. But I find it pretty interesting in these times of trouble why so many people will be listening to us from Russia. You figured they would be more internally driven to hear what's going on because, you know, their country is in a conflict with Ukraine, although some will argue Ukraine is part of Russia and Russia is part of Ukraine, historically speaking, from 800 years ago. But, you know, that's a story for another time, just as Pakistan and India are really the same people. You know, I guess there are various versions of the Hatfield and the McCoys we've had, even amongst the Jewish people. And probably we could say the same is true about the people living in England and the greater surroundings, Scotland, Ireland, wherever it may be. Your comments on that, Dennis, before we get into the meat of the program, prayer and healing.
Dobre utro. Anyway, what happens is in times of let's call it just bad times, what the reason is for being bad, we won't go into, but people feel they're separated. They're alone in bad times. So they need a crutch or something to lean on or somebody to talk to. And believe it or not, God is always over their shoulders, only too eager to listen to what you have to say if you communicate with him. So in bad times, it doesn't surprise me that there's more people that feel like they should be a little bit more religious or listen to things that didn't bother them before the bad things started happening. So do you really need bad things to be able to communicate with the Almighty on a spiritual basis? Or is it a good thing? Either way, us humans are very fickle, and we feel like when we're needy, that need must be supplied. And how do we do that? By praying. And if you can pray, you will reap the benefits.
Amen. Now, I start off today's program, Dennis, with the blessing, the threefold blessing of the priestly branch of Israel, called the Kohanim.
Was that shofar that I heard?
Yes, it was also a shofar too, because they would blow the shofar in the temple. So this is kind of like an expression of how the Kohanim, I believe they were preceded by trumpet blowing. I'm not sure if it was the shofar blowing or the trumpets, but it was some sort of musical accompaniment which preceded their blessings. Just as like when the sacrifices were before they were offered up on the altar, the Levites were the musicians inside the temple. But also I think this blessing resonates for all human beings. In fact, if you remember, Dennis, and those out you listening and wherever you are in the world, for those who remember Star Trek, Leonard Nimoy of blessed memory, he was a Cohen. He was a Jewish man who that famous hand gesture where he split two sets of fingers apart and the thumb apart from them was actually the way the Kohanim, the priestly branch, would direct their fingers, both of them, up in the air towards the congregation at the Holy Temple. And since then, it's almost 2,000 years that we've been in the diaspora, the Kohanim, during the festivals that we have, will go up there and they will actually put a talis over their head, and their children, you know, they train the boys under bar mitzvah to do this. And the congregation, I'm not a Kohen, I'm not a Levite, so we would face him, and we have the talis over our head because we've been instructed not to look at the blessings, even of the hands of the Kohen being raised up. It's not necessarily to our improved enhancement or receiving the blessings to do so. But Leonard Nimoy, as Mr. Spock would say at certain program segments, long live and prosper. So he apparently, I think what Nimoy did was he condensed this three-sentence blessing and he turned it into just long live and prosper. So I think though that type of expression has resonated in different forms and shapes and even longer words or even less words, you know, just peace or blessing. But I think that's it. We don't realize, I think, Dennis, that there is so much in the culture of human beings of praying and praying for healing and praying for blessings. And I'd like you to comment about that, what you've observed over the years, how it's part of our living human culture, but it's not put at the, so to speak, level it should be to be sought after every day. Rather, just it's like an experience from time to time. Your take on these matters.
Believe it or not, we have a lot in common, even though we come from different tribes around the world. And that's in our mannerisms, because we are humans. We are not perfect, but we do have a lot in common. And how we communicate, whether it's through the mouth, with hands, or anything like that, we do have a commonality there. However, going back to the Rambam, he always had this strange idea, not a strange idea, a curiosity as to why our father Abraham, who was a Sabaean before he became Jewish, so to speak,
right.
What did he find in that type of religious manner? If Abraham, who he considered a very smart and intelligent person, understood what the Sabaean was about and became part of it. So what happens, it always bothered the Rambam that how could our father Abraham, who was so intelligent, to be able to follow just nature. So he looked into it and he examined it, and eventually he borrowed a handbook for the Sabaean culture, and he went through it. And after he was finished, he was really even more curious as to why Father Abraham follow this stuff. So what happens is he never got a complete answer, but he took a personal viewpoint on that. And it's not in the Mishnah Torah, but he expressed it himself. And that is, any emanations from humans takes away emanations from the spiritual world. Why? Because we on this planet Earth are not really spiritual people. We intend to work our way to be spiritual people so that we can gain heaven at some point in time. So anyway, he was against music and singing. Now, I love music. I love singing. But Hearst Rambaum said, no, that takes away from the spiritual concept because you're putting emphasis on what humans do. In other words, the mortals, us mortals, come out with this stuff, and the Rambaum believed we should de-emphasize it. Hmm. Okay, that was his personal opinion. I don't really agree 100%, but I understand where he came from, and I understand the perspective. However, we've had some people that say music is life. To me, that's on the borderline of saying that a good prayer is not as good as a song, whether it's played on some type of an instrument or something like that.
Right.
So this is not a conflict. It's a question of understanding. You can use what we do on a mortal basis, but we must remember, we must emphasize the spiritual basis for everything.
Thank you, Dennis. Well, I'd like to chime in on what you said, how Rambam de-emphasized the usage of music, through instrumentation. The sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe talked about the idea that many people, and into this day, many Jewish people, when they pray for the high holidays, meaning Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, that's the lunar New Year, and Yom Kippur, that certain types of professional singers are hired, called chazans, which I guess, how would you say it in English? Someone who leads the congregation. For some reason, I'm forgetting the term in English, but basically, it's the person who leads. And some people have this pleasant voice.
Are you
talking
about a cantor?
A cantor. Yeah. So a cantor. So a cantor can have such a voice, the Friedrich Rebbe mentioned, that it actually detracts from the prayers of the congregation. The whole point is the congregation should try to pray with one spirit, one aim, one heart, almost as if one person, almost seemingly an impossible task, but anyone who's prayed in any type of congregation where everyone felt in sync. I mean, sometimes I can tell you this, when I pray at my shul, the Frankel shul here in Crown Heights, and I'm tired or I'm distracted by something, and all of a sudden the cantor, during a regular Shabbos prayer, or even during a regular weekday prayer, will take us to a point where everyone just wants to sing the song. But at that point where I can go from my state of confusion or fatigue and actually commit myself to thinking about how, thank you, Hashem, I have this experience, this privilege. And that's one of the things that King David wrote about in the commentaries in chapter 61. It is a privilege to be able to praise Creator, how much more so to praise Him with song. So I think perhaps embedded somewhere within Rambam's reasoning is not perhaps, again, we can't ask him. You know, hopefully the Great Resurrection will clarify for us. I'm sure many people have many questions on the Rambam's teaching, especially on the Guide to the Perplexed, one of the more fiery, controversial books that was written in the history of the nation of Israel, but certainly a kosher one at that. So the thing is, if it's for that purpose, just to take people to think that they're in a rock concert and they are now relieved of their responsibility to connect to Creator, to connect to the soul, to develop that feeling of love and fear of the Creator and brotherly love for other human beings, then I could see how in that context, because a Rebbe 800 years later talked about how, be careful when you're listening to the Chazan, it's not about going to a rock concert or a cantorial concert, which they do have in the Jewish community. There is It's not my favorite cup of tea or style of music, but there's a large audience of people that reflect back because that cantorial music and that classical style echoes back to their childhood where they heard their fathers and grandfathers and perhaps great-grandfathers sing as they sung in, say, like Eastern Europe and Russia or even in the Middle East for that matter. So I just want to chime in on that. So the idea of prayer and healing. Now, let's be very blunt about it, blessed souls, that there's a process called teshuvah, of returning, repenting, whatever you want to call it, getting closer to God. And sometimes we have to activate that sense of wanting to get closer to God and to make a reconsideration of our thoughts, speech, and actions were perhaps not so great prior to our feeling weaker, and take on some sort of resolution to improve our conduct, and with that resolution to cut and paste it into our consciousness a prayer of being having, again, that privilege, that right, that human experience of calling out to one who spoke and everything came into being. And you don't need a 5G, you don't need a 4G, you don't need a laptop, you don't need an iPad, you don't need a cell phone, you don't even a landline phone. Just open up your heart, open up your mouth. You want to raise your hands, great. If you don't want to, fine as well. Whatever you feel, according to the Torah standard for every human being, if you have a need, pray for it. Dennis, a person need developing the sensitivity for a need to prayer, and can they connect it to their healing, which is actually the prayer for healing is an act of wanting to get closer to the Creator. So we would call that an act of repentance.
Well, let's go back to the ram's horn or the shofar. And
okay.
That is, every year, I've heard it for many, many years. And to me, I don't see people singing or dancing when the horn is sounded. However, the ram's horn or the shofar is like a wake-up call. You must wake up because you're hearing something that's saying God is waiting and it's time that you answer or respond or show some relationship. So the horn is not a natural human type of sound. So that's why it is a different sound, but to me it's like a wake-up call. And it's saying, here you have some time, wake up and do your thing.
Dennis, that is pretty on point why we have within our Jewish community internationally the need to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, because those are definitely two times for waking up, because according to our tradition on Rosh Hashanah we're praying for a good sweet year, and then the sealing of the blessings on Yom Kippur, that's according to our tradition, and we blow up, there are different customs, how many times to blow a shofar. There's an elongated sound, there's a truncated sound, there's more of a little bit of more elongated sound. And it's all it's a wake-up call, like that we should wake up from our dreams, that this world can sometimes can insidiously pour upon us like a rainstorm, that we think the world is something else other than what it really is. It's the creation of the Almighty. It is a time for making resolutions to try to improve our conduct. And ultimately, it's to crown the Almighty, to acknowledge His sovereignty. And I just want to be very clear about this. Really, we don't call the Creator He in His ultimate sense of being. Creator is Creator, but from our value system, the He is the giver, and the She aspect, which is connected to, say, Shekhinah, divine presence, is the nurturing element of godliness manifested into the creation. So we have all these factors playing in, Dennis, and everyone listening in. And it's very important to note that, again, I would just want to harp back on what I said before. It is from one perspective, from a biblical or, say, theological perspective, it's an obligation upon us to ask for our needs. But even more than that, we have the privilege to do so. So, Dennis, why aren't more people taking advantage of this privilege to pray to the Almighty when, again, there's no cell phone connection. You don't need an iPod, a cell phone, and a laptop or a desktop. Why aren't people taking advantage of this opportunity?
Well, what happens to me is something similar to the shofar again. because there's no technology involved. You're taking something that's not really a musical instrument, but it has a sound that will reverberate with humans to say, wake up, maybe it's time for a little change. It can't hurt anybody, but the significance of it is that you're using something out of nature to relate to the spiritual world. And that is something that is a need that's always in people. It's just a question of when. You can live your life and never make a prayer, but at least once a year, you'll hear the shofar being called. Now, when this reminder happens, we have to go back to what we believe in and our thoughts, our core values. And our core values are so important that we must remind people, don't get too far away from your core values. Don't get too familiar with things because they're only creating a false image on the earth where humans propagate. So what we'd like to do is create a sound or even words that cause you to take a second thought or think twice about something.
Right.
And God is with you.
Beautiful. Thank you, Dennis. So I'd like to go a little bit into, there was a pamphlet that was composed by the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe. And again, now we're going to, blessed souls, you know, like the nuances of how, say, we Jewish people approach prayer. But hopefully it will resonate a universal instruction to anyone in this world who is of the children of Noah. And when I say the children of Noah, I mean we all are children of Noah, if we take the biblical narrative as an actual historical occurrence. You know, Dennis, I'm just going to, as a parenthetical statement, there are depictions of a great flood even before the flood of Noah, which is very interesting. And sometimes I see people using it to say, well, Noah is just a recapitulation of that story of a, and it was someone else, not called Noah, it was some Sumerian name. But I want to point out, blessed souls, that actually there was a flood that preceded the flood of Noah. In the time of Enosh, who is one of the early human beings listed in the book of Genesis, it is mentioned that there was a great flood as well in the oral Torah tradition, and that area of flooding is what we know today as the Pacific Ocean. And people ask about, you know, I think it's on Easter Island. I think it's out way out in the Pacific. You know, where would those giant headstones come up? I mean, it's a pretty, pretty colossal structures. Well, those perhaps were built by the ancient peoples before the flood, and that area was allowed to, you know, the water was allowed to recede over the God decreed that the water receded. So I'm just saying that there was two ancient floods. One was that formed what now we know today recognize as the Pacific Ocean, and then the one that did the whole earth. So it's not a contradiction. But from the we are all descendants of Noah, again, according to the biblical tradition. People can read it in English. I read it in Hebrew. It's all out there. And so there were traditions. And Dennis, you mentioned something earlier about Rambam learning from the Sabaeans. I want to mention there's a book called Sefer HaYasha, the Book of the Straight, or Those Who Are the Righteous, where actually Abraham learned for 30 years at the seat of Noah because their lifespans did in fact coincide. Abraham lived for 58 years until the passing of Noah, when Noah passed away at 900 plus years. And so Noah had a son called Shem, who's also called Malki Tzedek, which you read about in the Bible in the book of Genesis, who blessed Avraham, or Avram as he was known back then. He was called Avram before Avraham because his name changed after he had his circumcision. And so we know that Abraham had tradition not just from the Sabaeans, from his immediate culture that he was originally raised in, which you all also identify as Ur Kasdim, but he had those traditions going back from the man who was basically the second version. He was like Adam 2.0. So when I talk about these prayer, maybe something will sound a little bit alien to certain people, or maybe something will sound that something they can connect to because it goes back to the traditions that even preceded Abraham and the Jewish people. So I just want to throw that out there. So here's the first point, and we'll turn to Dennis quickly for some feedback, that the fifth Rebbe of Chabad said that any, all forms of service and toiling for those who are serious about their prayers, because prayer can involve a toiling of the mind and soul and body, is to come to the attribute of love. So, Dennis, how can the average person asking for their needs come to the realization, not only asking for their needs and hopefully their needs will be met in the proper fashion, but actually they shouldn't be surprised that they start to feel a greater love for the Creator because they're actually praying to Creator?
You do that by questioning yourself. And since you don't have all the answers, nobody has all the answers, we have to believe in something. And that's what we do. We question whether we're on the right track or the wrong track. You mentioned the word he before. Now,
right.
God is not he or a she. God
right.
is an entity. We cannot
right.
describe, the Rambam says, we cannot describe him in human or mortal terms. We are doing a disservice if we compare God to how we humans, mortals, act and live. So this is a spiritual being that we have no way of defining, but it is so huge, it's unavoidable. The thing is, it's like an elephant in the room. The elephant may not be there, but something big is. And this is what we talk about, to be called God, our Creator. And he's with us, and we must give him service to a certain extent that he is there, he put us here, and we have to do certain things so that we will shine brightly in his light. Because if we're not in his light, we're servicing the devil. So you must question yourself whether you're going to be a positive person and believe and try to do things that God has put into Scripture and your thoughts. As in Enoch, you call him Enosh. Enoch spoke about, or he wrote about, things that happened in nature before people were writing history. Nature is an ongoing thing that's owned, created, and controlled by God. So it's not a he or a she. It's an entity that's trying to help us get to heaven in some way, shape, or form. So we must believe that there is something that's looking at us over our shoulder and always willing to help us.
Thank you, Dennis. Going further, another way to look at prayer, as we've described, it's something that allows us to develop a greater attribute of love, to enlarge in our love within ourselves toward the Creator. It's also an act of connection. And what he uses an example of, say if you put together earthenware. Now, I'm sure everyone who's listened to the program, I mean, I know I did it myself when I was in grade school. We worked with clay that was moist, and we put it on a potter's wheel, and we spun it, and we either pushed a button or we pumped the spinning wheel with our foot, and we put our fingers into the mud or clay, and it assumes a shape. So I look at it this way. What I think the Rebbe is alluding to is that when we consider that we're kind of like putting together, making an earthen vessel, a vessel to call out to the Creator, and a vessel to receive the blessings, we're basically telling ourselves, because if we remind ourselves, we are that very clay, but now in human form with bones and sinews and nerves and a soul, and electrical magnetic energy activity taking place, that we have to get ourselves together. We're like that formless clay, Dennis, before our prayer experience, and we have to decide in our calling out to God if we're going to take a new shape, which will be standing to stand up to the challenges of the day, at the same time, too, engaging our soul to be connected to godliness. Your take on these matters.
Well, I like your description of the clay, but we got to update it, Don. And we call
okay.
it Play-Doh today. Play-Doh.
Okay, okay.
And what happens, it comes in little canisters, and it's a blob, and it wants people to take them out of the canisters, and you create the shapes. So what shapes are in people's minds? Usually it starts off with little kids who get it, and they have an open and blank mind. But they're trying to mold it into some form that's recognizable and usable, and they can collapse the whole thing and recreate and keep on going. Well, that's a positive idea. However, they cannot do it with their mind alone. Little kids and even grown-ups must have some guidance, and that guidance is very important because it tells you basically what not to do, because you have a free will to do whatever you think is a good thing. So stay away from the bed. Keep the clay and the Play-Doh being molded. But remember, the mold that you're talking about goes back to our Creator. He created us. He molded us. And we're in that existence today. So we must give recognition as to where it started. Somebody, some entity, had to do something before the humans ever started walking on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Another allegory that the Rebbe brings out is to consider that our prayer is like a ladder. What is a ladder? You've got to have the ladder firmly planted on the ground so it stays its ground, and yet you climb the ladder to whatever level of rung you have to reach in order to whatever it is, to change a light bulb, to paint the ceiling, to, I don't know, remove cobwebs from a chandelier, where it may be. And so we are being reminded as well, we have to ascend. And one of the ways that I look at prayer as a ladder, first of all, you have to remember to take the ladder out. And you set the ladder up, and before I start to ascend the ladder, I have to, in Jewish practice, we start to think about the smallness of man and how the Creator is so great and infinite, and somewhere between our teeny, tiny, puny human awareness, we have to somewhere take some step upwardly, not just physically, but also allegorically, to want to connect to that godliness or the Almighty who's just waiting for us to utter those prayers. And therefore, there's a teaching, let your head be in heaven, but make sure your feet are firmly planted on the ground. Because we don't, you know, we're not going to, if we get into even the most elevated form of prayer, I think it's not reasonable to expect that all of a sudden we're going to sprout wings and start flying up to heaven. That's not the point. If we were put on the earth, we're actually, in our attempts, we're trying to bring something of the heavenly attributes of brotherly, sisterly human love to remove jealousy and hatred and competition from the earth. So that's, how do you react to this idea that we can approach prayer as some sort of ladder of ascending in consciousness and human experience?
Well, let's call it's like a question mark to a certain extent. We want to aspire. We want to go higher. We want to elevate our thoughts. We want to do the good thing. But the ladder does not take us to heaven. It only has human steps along the way. So the steps that were put together by the people who made the ladder were there to help you and show you the way. But to continue it must go from your mind to our Creator. Physically, the ladder is there to help you get up. But remember, you can't get to heaven in a ladder. However, you can elevate your stuff, you can do your thing, you can do better, and you will aspire to go to the next level without the ladder.
Beautiful. Dennis, unfortunately, you know, usually when I do these programs, I have one of my work assistants, someone under me, who takes my phone calls. I just got an emergency call. So unfortunately, we're going to have to wind out today's program today instead of running the full hour, the 35 minutes. But I do want to thank you for your pungent, tangible, very honest, heart-to-heart conversation with myself and to our blessed souls. So I just like, any last thing you'd like to add before we sign off?
Yes. Love God, but love your fellow human. Because how can you love God without loving your fellow human? He created us all. We were all here. So when we mention the word service, what are you doing to help that condition?
Thank you, Dennis. And I'm just going to conclude that may Dennis' words, loving of human and our love of God, should be the two sides of the same coin of a part of our human family experience. We're just going to end off to music as I go reach to answer my emergency call, part of my work service. And this is, we've heard it many times on this program, it's an a cappella version of He's Finally Here, about people needing to change their attitudes towards the coming of the Messiah, the Lion of Judah, who will roar out Torah Chadash Min Tetzeh, innovative points in Torah that never been revealed in the way of Ahav Echad, one love, Goel Echad, one destiny, Kulano, for all of us, the dark and dark Shom, in a pleasant, peaceful way. Dennis, thank you again, and thank you, everyone, and let's hopefully reunite next week. Take care, everyone.
Dr. Danya.
Emotions can run deeply, moving up the speed.